I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for trade deadline day, Keith?
Of course I am. Jones, I would have to say, no hyperbole, it's one of the 30 best sports days of the year.
Oh, top 30 for sure.
Top 30 sports day of the year. It's one of my favorite events. I do look forward to it. Just like the all the deadlines, really, honestly. All four trade deadlines. And usually they wrap up just after our show is over. Today, all the way till 6. I don't know why they need to go all the way to 6.
Yeah, what the hell?
But trade deadline day is very exciting. The draft days are very exciting. And, this could be huge because we're going to feel a certain type of way about the Red Sox following today.
I'm nervous about the way I'm going to be feeling about my guy, Craig Breslow.
Yep.
No one is more Brez pro than I am. He did make a move, which we'll get to here coming up. But it's Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium on WEEI. It is day 8 of Patriots training camp. This one's going to be a light one.
Yeah, I got the binocs back.
Pop those binocs on. You see anybody in a helmet down there?
Looks like a lot of no helmet guys.
Yeah, I see no shoulder pads, no helmets out there.
I do see some bucket hats.
A sizable amount of bucket hats out there. So
shout out to Mother Nature, by the way. First day not in the mid-90s this week.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Good for her.
I'm actually not sweating right now.
She knew it was a walkthrough today. Yep. We are presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on, at McFarlaneEnergy.com. We have Billy Lanny at the trade desk, and I'm told we got trades going down.
No way.
Can you believe it?
All right, Ken Rosenthal, sources confirm Tigers acquiring right-handed pitcher Paul Sewald from the Guardians.
Okay. Well, listen, Guardians, if you hear selling. That sound anytime during the show, that means a baseball trade has happened, and that is early. We are inside of 8 hours until the deadline, so teams have a while to go. Now, it's 7 a.m. on the West Coast, Jones, so some of these teams just waking up, just having their coffee.
They pretty much all have the day off, though. I think there's only like 3 games in baseball today, so pretty much every GM was like, just wait for Thursday.
Let's just wait for Thursday.
I got a day off. I got stuff to do. I'm not going to run errands on a work day. I'm waiting for my day off. I think that's what pretty much all of baseball is doing.
Are you saying the Guardians sellers?
Yeah, well, the Guardians traded the Biebs earlier
today.
Makes
sense. Biebs gone. Emmanuel Clase, a gambling addict. And now this move, too. They're only 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, but I think they realize it's not happening for them.
Nope.
It's not happening. They have a negative run differential. They also have one team in front of them until you even get to the playoffs. So the fact that Cleveland's selling suggests to me that everybody else in the American League probably will be as well. Cleveland, Kansas City, Tampa, Angels, Twins, Orioles, A's, White Sox, those teams.
Tampa kind of already started. They made a trade last night, trading a starting pitcher. I think some of those teams we are seeing the line of demarcation. Seattle bought again in a big way.
Holy smokes.
Overnight.
Seattle's no joke.
They've gotten a little scarier, if we're being honest.
Seattle's tough. Seattle's lost a couple games in a row. The Red Sox have a game and a half lead on them. Seattle tied with Texas for the third and final wild card spot in the American League, but they have been the most aggressive. They've made two of the best moves so far, right? Josh Naylor, I thought, was a good move. Getting Suarez from the Snakes is a great move.
Yeah,
that's one of that could go down as the best player trade.
And stop me if you heard this before, Keith, but the Red Sox were in on Suarez.
Oh, were they? Oh, that's good news.
To potentially put him at first base, but the Mariners outmaneuvered them.
That's big
for Eugenio Suarez.
Like, that is really big because if you
I had said I didn't really care about the Josh Naylor move. I think it's a good move for Seattle, but I didn't need the lefty bat. Solid. Suarez is one where I'm like, he moved. That's a guy they should have got.
Definitely.
That's exactly what they need. A right-handed bat who they were looking at playing at first. That's exactly what they need.
And if you feel like there's three spots there's four teams fighting for three spots, right? And if one of those teams is the Mariners and they just added these two guys and they're not done and they have a better rotation than you do anyway, like they needed help in the lineup. They don't score as many runs as the Red Sox do. Well, they're about to. Like that, you give Big Dumper some protection in the lineup. Or some ducks in the pond, however they decide to do it.
The Dumper is protected now.
He is,
and or as you said, he's got more ducks on the pond.
He's got a duck city
for all those home runs he's swatting.
So that's not ideal. Breslow better get up off his keister and get something done.
Okay, well he technically made a move, and you can weigh in the Red Sox at the trade deadline. He's got until 6 Keith. P.M. Eastern time.
I guess.
You can discuss 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny stationed at the trade desk all day long. That noise you heard earlier, as you just found out, not just for Red Sox trades.
No, any and all trades.
We mean all.
All trades.
Any and all trades throughout Major League Baseball. We will go to the trade desk with Billy Lanny, our MLB correspondent today, live from Foxborough. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe, at Keefe21. At Jones WEEI. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. I'm sure there's a lot of good ideas for what Breslow could do there. Same on YouTube. Just subscribe and chat there. WEEI is how you would do that. They did make a trade for Steven Matz, Keith.
Nice.
34-year-old rental reliever, left-handed. He's what you call in baseball today a bulk reliever.
Oh, bulk reliever.
A guy who can give you a couple of innings. From what I read earlier today, I guess the Cardinals have been using him for a lot of 5 and 6 out stints. So a depth guy in your bullpen, you look at the numbers and you go, oh, well, that's not terrible. He's 5-2, 3.44 ERA.
Yeah.
They gave up Blaze Jordan, their 19th ranked prospect in the organization, so it didn't cost much.
Awesome name, though.
Blaze Jordan's a tremendous name.
All name team.
Tremendous name. Yeah. I saw he and Carrabas flirting on Twitter last night.
Who plays Jordan and Carrabas?
Yeah. Carrabas like, nice. I'm sad they traded Blaze, and Blaze just hit him with a little heart emoji.
Oh, that is cute.
Last night, yeah, so it was
glad
good.
That happened.
Very cute going on. So 3.44 ERA, you go, oh, okay, well, that's not terrible. That's an upgrade in their bullpen.
It's all right.
But then I go, well, what did Lucas Sims have last year?
Probably the same.
3.57 ERA. What did Luis Garcia have last year? 3.71
What'd they have after?
ERA. Yeah, oh, and it was brutal once they got here. So, look, Matz might be okay. I'm not telling you he can't help, but this is closer to that level of move. These are the moves that Breslow, so far, has made at the trade deadline the last 2 years. This one doesn't stand out in any way.
I just remember Steven Matz as one of the guys the Mets had when they were considered the best pitching prospects of all time. They had Matt Harvey, Jacob deGrom, Zach Wheeler, Steven Matz, and Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be their rotation for like the next 10 years. Well, two of those guys are really good, but they're pitching for other teams. DeGrom ended up being nasty. Wheeler ended up being nasty. Harvey got like hurt and was a mess. Syndergaard maybe had like a good season. Matt's never really
Syndergaard. I bet Syndergaard for a brief amount of time was really good. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Two of those guys really, really hit.
And then Matt's got traded.
And both of them no longer pitched there. Yeah.
No. It ended up being a mess. And that's why like pitching always kind of scares me. I understand the importance of pitching and you know, starting pitching in come playoff time. But it is dangerous because nobody thought they were going to be set up better than the like 2015 Mets. And then what have they gotten for it? You know, like all those guys are.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Are pretty much gone.
Right, and you'd think with five of those guys, you're like, oh, well, as you said, a couple of them will click.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they do, but Zach Wheeler didn't really click until he left New York. You know, DeGrom was good there for a long time. He left. Harvey burned bright. Same thing with Syndergaard, and Matz never really hit.
No, but so, Matz is kind of whatever. Like, I don't think...
Right, I'm not saying it won't help. I'm just saying, when we talk about a big swing, bullpen is lowest on my list.
But even this isn't a big bullpen swing. Like Mason Miller is a big swing bullpen-wise.
Or the guys who moved last night. Duran, the reliever from Minnesota.
No, it's Johan Duran, the Spanish Jaren Duran.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Duran?
It's Johan Duran.
It's not Duran.
No.
Oh, okay.
Johan Duran.
It would be funny if the Red Sox acquired a Duran instead of traded away a Duran, but it was a Duran the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's Spanish for Jaren Duran.
Amazing. He even pitched against the Red Sox last week, and I didn't know it's Duran. My mistake.
So
it's not him. It's not even Helsley, who's not having the greatest year. But those are two impact relievers that have moved thus far. Maybe more of them will.
Yeah.
I would argue that an impact starter hasn't moved yet. Maybe you would consider the Biebs that. He's a former Cy Young winner, Keith, in 2020. I don't know if you count that or not. I don't know if that's outside your purview.
I feel like post-COVID for me. I mean, we're already in 2025, Jones, and we're more than halfway through it. So I think you have to be great 21 or beyond.
So do you don't recognize? You don't recognize? Do you even recognize a Cy Young in the COVID year? Do you even recognize that?
Not really. No, we were actually doing this the other day when the Athletic came out with their Who's Surefire Hall of Famer, and they had one of their like as of right now, and Freddie Freeman was one of their guys. And Freeman did win an MVP, but it was in a 60-game season.
COVID MVP.
I'm out on that.
Yeah,
scrap it.
The Biebs has not thrown a pitch in the big leagues this year. He's coming back from an injury. But
you're saying he's fresh?
I guess he looked good in his last rehab start. After him, Zach Littell, the righty for Tampa, is probably the best starter that's moved 8-8 this year, 3.58 ERA. I think the takeaway for the Red Sox is what's good about it. Is Tampa might be selling, and maybe you can get yourself a Yandy Diaz.
That'd be nice.
But no, I mean, Matt's is a so-so, run-of-the-mill, Craig Breslow type of move. It's the same kind of move he made last year. ESPN graded it a C+, Keith. Cardinals, as we said, use him for 5 and 6 outs at a time. The Red Sox could potentially stretch him out as a number 5 starter. I guess he's been poor as a starter the last few years, better out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
ESPN says, all in all, Matt's is a versatile pitcher. With still identifiable strengths, who deepens Boston's staff. He's not really a needle mover. I'd say not.
No, I would agree on that.
But it only took an unranked prospect, Sox prospect, as of 19th in the system, Blaze Jordan, to land him in advance of the looming free agent.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like the timing of it, right? Like you didn't get Alex Bregman right away in the offseason, but then when you did, that ended up being like a really great offseason. So like if Steven Matz was the third or fourth guy that you added and you had like a stud pitcher, maybe even an everyday bat and Steven Matz, you're like, all right, good. But, you know, hopefully he helps. If he doesn't, you didn't take too big of a swing, not going to kill you. It's a tinker, but this also, not just for the fan base, but for the team, they're looking around the clubhouse and they've had so many second half collapses and bad August under Alex Cora because he kind of mopes when they don't make a move. The rest of the team then kind of mopes when they don't make a move. You can't say, well, Steven Matz is a move. Like, that's not going to do anything. Like, he might come in and maybe the guys like him, maybe they use him correctly and he actually helps you a little bit, but there's no, hey guys, they clearly believe in us, they went out and got Steven Matz.
No, certainly doesn't feel that way. I'm going to give you
he has two nicknames.
Oh, good.
It's two nicknames.
I was on the baseball reference page. I skimmed right over that. What are they?
I don't know how you did that. One of them, Matsy.
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 Yeah.
The other one.
They should call him Matz Stairs. M-A-T-Z Stairs. That's what they
Matz
should call him.
Stairs?
Matz Stairs.
He's a pitcher, though.
Yeah.
His other nickname is Reno.
Oh, why is that? Is he from Reno?
Or maybe he's related to Janet Reno. I don't know. No, he's not even from Reno. He's from Stony Brook, New York.
So not even Nevada.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask him about it.
Okay.
We never get it. You know what? Bradford will ask him.
Bradfo.
We'll get to that.
Who we're going to talk to coming up at 11:30. Bradfo, if you're listening, and if not, we'll ask him about it. Get to the bottom of why Steve Matz's nickname is already Reno. Yeah. Although Bradfo may already know that for
he
all we
probably
know.
Does.
Speaking of Bradfo, let me give you a few rumors out there floating around last night. He linked the Red Sox to the starting pitchers in Arizona. We've talked a lot about them. Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. I'd expect one or both to move today. Alex Spear had those names, plus Sandy Alcantara and Mitch Keller. Spear also said that the Red Sox and their approach on rental relievers is that given the volatility of relievers, the Sox are reluctant to give up top prospects, particularly at the upper levels of the minors, for 2 months of a reliever. So they pivoted and went with Blaze Jordan instead.
I mean, Matz is a rental.
He is, but it was not
a
top prospect to give up.
He actually makes way more money than you would think.
Oh, he signed like a 4-year, $45 million deal or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he's making 12.5 this year. Obviously, the Red Sox won't have to pay
Henry
all of that.
Adding payroll.
Yeah, they did.
Replacing Rafi Devers.
I mean, what is that, $6 million they're going to owe this guy? $5 million, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
A couple other things. Ken Rosenthal this morning, who had our first trade-in at the trade desk. He says the Red Sox could possibly target both Charlie Morton and Ryan O'Hearn in a combo deal. I'd feel better if I'm getting O'Hearn. I want nothing to do with Charlie Morton. And O'Hearn is a lefty. I would have rather Suarez. I'd way rather Yandy Diaz, who Rosenthal also said the Rays are putting Yandy Diaz on the back burner as they approach
also
the trade deadline.
I know he was an all-star, but let's get this out in front before they do it, and then people are just going to say we're being negative. How good is Ryan O'Hearn?
Oh, I don't think great.
Okay, thank you. So, like, I don't want to be like you're only saying this because they made the move. Let's get out in front. If they add him, it's like a nice addition. But if I'm Abraham Toro, I'm like, yeah, I can still play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you look at – so he is an – O'Hearn was an all-star this year, so he's having his best year.
Charlie Morton's been an all-star twice.
But he has 13 home runs. Last year he had 15. Ryan O'Hearn I'm talking about. Now, he does have an 837 OPS, which is nothing to sneeze at. But,
yeah, he's not at the top of my list. I'd rather have
Josh Naylor.
Same thing. I was just going to say the exact same thing. I would have had him below Josh Naylor on my trade target list, but I would take him.
And it's more than a step up from Danny Jansen. Like, Danny Jansen, they were excited about last year, and it made no sense even in real time. O'Hearn, I could see as more of an addition. But when you're trying to solve some of these lineups against lefties, for example, like, I don't know if O'Hearn's really a guy that's going to help you there.
No. No, I would say not. I'll give him credit for acquiring him, but I don't know that that's a big splash, and it's not really what we're looking for today. Yandy Diaz, Dylan Cease.
In fact, Ryan O'Hearn this season, I mentioned 13 home runs, all against righties. There's no home runs against lefties.
So he's not helping you whatsoever against lefties, and you need a righty stick.
Correct.
Yeah, again, I mean, look, I'm all for acquiring talent. He's probably an upgrade on Abraham Toro, but it doesn't feel like the greatest fit necessarily, and I want nothing to do with Charlie Morton.
He's no, thank you.
Older than me and Keith, not combined.
For real, though.
But individually.
That's a real stat.
He's older than the two of us. Yeah, no, we're not young. This is true. So, the big names out there, Yandy Diaz, Dylan Cease, maybe the super high-end, Joe Ryan. I'd talk myself into those guys from the Diamondbacks. I think they'd be decently big moves, whether it's Gallen or Merrill Kelly. I think the Marlins pitchers feel like more and more of a pipe dream, Alcantara and Edward Cabrera. What's a best-case scenario for Craig Breslow today? What's a worst-case scenario for Craig Breslow today? What do you want to see the Sox do? Again, we'll talk to Bradford coming up about an hour from now. Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI. He'll join us at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon. We'll catch you up to speed on everything you missed at Patriots training camp in just 60 seconds. We'll summarize that for you. Plus, we got a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. Jones and Keefe live. Day 8 of Patriots training camp. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we'll get to the latest on what Craig Breslow is up to. That's next.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.